Hello, hello, hello. Gio here, Geocast episode 12. Been an interesting week for sure. Here in Nosara, Costa Rica, also in the world. What an interesting time to be alive. And I will also preface that to say it's interesting because I don't know anything. You know, when I was younger, I thought I knew a lot. I thought I knew a lot about how the world worked, and I didn't really even question why we're here or what the purpose of it was. But the older I get, the more I realize it's like, hey, I have no idea what's going on. But at the same time, I'm not just going to accept what I'm told, meaning, you know, the media and other people. But I've learned to question, which I think is really important in this day and age. Just to question everything. You know, it doesn't mean that whatever one person says, always do the opposite, or vice versa. But it's important to really question and use, I guess, the outer world as an opportunity to reflect on your inner world. So today I'm going to talk about a few things that may be controversial. And I pose these mainly as questions that I'm asking myself and not so much that I know anything about what's going on. So where do we start? We can start in Nosara, we can start on the global scale. I think we'll start today in Nosara. Well, first of all, a confession to make. Although I've been living out here for a year and trying to surf, so I don't call myself a surfer. People ask me, do you surf? My usual response is, I have a board. It's a big, long 9-foot foam board. So it's very big, very easy to surf on. Someone recommended it to me. I think it's a little... well, it's good. It's fun. And finally, a couple of times I tried to get out to the lineup, which they call it, or past all the wave breaks to wait for the bigger waves to come in. And with this big foam board, you know, every time I got close to the big waves, they would just push me back so far. Like by the time you get close, your shoulders are burning. They're so tired. And you know, some people said, yeah, you need a smaller board, something that you can dive under the waves with, blah, blah, blah. So finally, this week, a friend of mine, Ryan, invited me to go surfing and just gave me a few really key tips about getting out there, about, I guess, turtling or tucking under when a wave comes. So it kind of just passes you over. So that was huge. And then I finally got out and I caught one big wave, one and a half, but one good one. And it was amazing. So I feel really excited about that. I want to share that. But I still don't have that surfing itch that a lot of people get where they want to just go out every single day. And there has been some water issues here. And it's interesting, the dynamic here where we live. You know, you have all this concentration of wealth in this small surf town. But the managing, I guess, municipality is out in Nicoya. And like, you know, a lot of our the tax dollars from here go to that municipality, and because of our zoning, they really don't care about like what goes on here in a way, which is kind of sad for us and the people who live here. But I'd say it probably affects us more because we have this expectation of how things should be and pay money. I don't think that's fair. But you really start to see a divide in, you know, classes of people. And a lot of people come here with this idea of like, hey, you know, we want to create this new earth, we want to do things different, but I'm not really seeing it. You know, you just come, people coming here doing their yoga, living in their fancy homes and their expensive things. It's not really bringing up the local population at all. So it's a big problem. And we have these old like sewage systems and septic tanks that when it rains, just flows out to the ocean. A lot of times the ocean quality is not good. You know, being down here, there's a lot of things, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm here. It's beautiful. I feel amazing. My nervous system is incredible. My sleep scores with my Oura Ring are through the roof, you know, readiness 92, sleep 90. And it's really helped a lot with, you know, my mental health and well-being, the way I feel. You know, all of my so-called problems, quote unquote, and stresses haven't really changed. You know, the businesses that I run are still creating challenges, but you know, when you feel relaxed, when you feel at ease and rested, the mind works differently. When the mind is overstimulated, driven by coffee and stimulants and external forces and stress, and I talked about the collective mind in the last one, so I won't get into it much. At least when you take some of those factors away, it feels a lot better. But You know, there are other problems too. Like, that's one. The roads, you know, seem to always be fixing. I've talked about the river here too that we got to cross. That's always a challenge. When it rains, they need to build that road. Cars get stuck in it all the time. Hopefully no one gets hurt. But the third one that's really kind of, you know, freaked me out is the crime going up. I know it's a side effect of the economic situation anywhere. You know, we're moving into a worldwide recession. Crime's going to go up around the world. People get more desperate. And I think, like, the locals here, you know, before it seemed to be mainly just, like, petty theft. And, you know, you leave something in your car or you leave a door unlocked. Someone might, you know, try to come in and grab something. But they're happening more and more. They're happening when people are home. And actually, someone got tied up last week with their kids home. And, you know, they took all their money and their electronics. Took their, I think, took a fancy wedding ring or engagement ring or something like that, too. Although they seem targeted. The question is, how do you become a target? You're walking around with a computer case, you know, you have a nice car, you live in a nice house. And so, you know, we live up in the mountains too. We were renting a space in town for the convenience because, you know, I thought, hey, like driving 20, 30 minutes into town each day, it's not so convenient, but you kind of lose that kind of security feeling. And like, what is the answer? Do you bump up security and come down hard with a heavy iron fist on crime? Or, you know, the short term, that feels like the only solution. But in the longer term, you know, like, how do you kind of like fix this divide? How does the world rebalance itself? You know, and I think we're going to start talking about a bit about that because it got me to reflect on, you know, this is what's coming in my own life. How I work, I guess, on those levels, in my personal life, with business, with, you know, the way you kind of treat people and the way you pay people here and the way you talk to people here. You know, sometimes people say like, hey, someone gets broken into, then everyone becomes an enemy. They look at everyone as if it could have been them that did that to them. Which creates more animosity and tension. And then like some of these people that are working here in town, there's a lot of construction going on. So you bring in these workers from outside because everyone's trying to save money and they're not getting paid well. They're living in these little like tin huts. And, you know, they see a phone. It's like, wow, that's like over a month's work. The work, it's worth a shot for them. So how do you pay them better? How do you pay everyone better so it becomes more into alignment? And it got me to think about, you know, what's going on in the world, the level of inequality, and a lot of interesting astrology that's happening right now. So the first one, I guess we'll talk about astrology first, is like Pluto returns. So Pluto, so all the planets have a return, and all the planets have like a retrograde as well. So retrograde is when they're kind of like going backwards in the sky, and the return, I'm not sure exactly, but the last time we had a Pluto return, I guess for North America, was when 1776 happened. And the astrologers, my favorite astrologer is Carmen DeLuccio, is a good friend of mine. He sort of got me interested in astrology when he did my natal chart years ago. I never used to believe in astrology. I thought it was like really woo-woo. But like these planets have like influence on energies. And if you look at all these big companies, when they, you know, a lot of them, when they release products or, you know, these big meetings around the world for like governments and stuff, a lot of them are really interestingly aligned with different planets and astrological kind of events that apparently will influence them. So again, Pluto returned 1776, time of upheaval. And what's going on in the world right now? It's a big time of upheaval and realignment. And it feels very chaotic. There's also, you know, Mars retrograde is happening right now. That usually simplifies war. I think it goes on until about December 7th, the end of the year. It might actually go into the new year. But it's about, you know, solving lingering problems, tying off loose ends, and all these other things. And so it really feels like things are heating up, like in Russia right now, like all of their so-called allies have told everyone to get out of Ukraine. And again, like, I'm trying not to pretend I have any idea what's going on over there. But when the media soul-heartedly pushes something so hard, you'd think, you know, I ask questions, you know, like weapons of mass destruction. I still remember that. You know, like, hey, they have it. They lied about it. The military-industrial complex makes tons of money off war and who knows what other resources when they go into these countries in the name of democracy. I really question, you know, like, the U.S. is a good guy, the protector, but I really feel that they don't really work for the people. they actually work for these elites, globalists, you know, very rich people that they're kind of like borderless. They work with within power, a lot of teams and friends, but I really feel there's two sides of it. There's the good guys and the bad guys, and we don't really see what's going on, but they're fighting behind the scenes. And I hope that's true, because that could be totally untrue as well. And maybe they're all in on it together, creating this kind of false idea that there are good guys and bad guys, and really there's just them versus the people. But my true belief, my highest belief, is that there is good and evil, that it's a dance between darkness and light. And there are periods of more darkness, there are periods of more light, and then there's the change, the transition, which is always the crazy chaotic part, which I think we're in right now. It's time to transition out of darkness into light, time to transition into falsehood, into truth. And I think a lot of the history we've been told and a lot of the things we've been told have been lies. You know, just recently, Pfizer executive was on trial, I think, in a European court. And, you know, they said they never tested the thing for transmission. They didn't know if it would stop it. And, you know, all these governments around the world were telling people, hey, do it for mom, do it for grandma, pressuring people into doing it to help other people. And that was kind of just a marketing plan. And it's really sad, you know, that a lot of people were doing it out of the goodness of their heart to help others when that wasn't even the case. And so many examples of this that go on where, you know, people are trying to push an agenda. Maybe some people believe that was true, and where the information came from, it's hard to say for certain. But just recognizing the lie. And when I started seeing everyone, all the media going crazy on Ukraine, I just scratched my head a bit. Okay, you know, we definitely don't want war. We definitely don't want aggression. We definitely don't want, you know, people bullying other people and this whole democracy thing. But I look at what's going on in North America right now. A lot of these Western or European countries, and they're literally falling apart completely, economically, socially, in many different ways. And just ask myself, like, well, what's really going on here? Why is this happening? And it feels like a lot of the hypocrisy is being exposed in a big, big way. And just one example that comes to mind is, well, the more I looked into the whole Russia-Ukraine thing, it's way more complicated than I ever would have imagined. And a lot of history that goes back, which regions of formerly Russian people that went to Ukraine, and, you know, things happened in 2014, and you know, a lot of maybe conspiracy theories about, you know, the Biden family and energy and Burisma and money laundering and labs, biotech labs along the border, and like NATO, and it's really complicated. So I have no idea what the truth is about it, just to be certain, but it's definitely a lot more complicated than what the media says. And like, and I question, it's like all this money going to Ukraine, to send all this money where it's like they're not actually fighting the war, but they're supporting a potential nuclear war. It's like, wait a minute, like, how does this help anybody? If you force someone like Russia, whether Putin is crazy or not, I loved his speech, whether it was complete bullshit, it was just really beautiful word art, which I can think of a lot of politicians that are good at that, including, you know, JT in Canada and, you know, Obama. I wouldn't say Biden. I think Biden's really in a serious mental decline. It's actually sad to see, you know, some of the things that, you know, he's saying. But if you listen to the translation of his speech, I couldn't disagree with anything that he said. Really, I couldn't. I was trying to, like, pick holes in it. But, you know, if we're supporting, you know, on one hand, you know, many people are like, hey, like, we need gun reform, but let's send billions of dollars to Ukraine. And who's paying for that? It's taxpayers. But when I, you know, last few times I was in the States, and the people that I talked to in the States, is like, there's so many people suffering of poverty in the U.S., homeless people, people with drug addiction, people losing their jobs, and we're sending all this money overseas. And yes, you know, anywhere there's atrocity, you know, you want to help. But like, to what point do we help others to bankrupt ourselves? And if we spent all that money here, how much better could it be? You could say, hey, it's not fair, and, you know, we need to help others. But in the system we live in, with this divided inequality, you know, we need better solutions than spending money on war. And there's been opportunities, I think, for ceasefire and peace, but it seems like seems like that's not where we're headed. And, you know, I guess the lesson here is, like, what really happens if you let go completely? Does this need to happen, this crazy world war, in order for a reset? I don't know. I hope not, you know. But, you know, we're living in this movie of our own lives, and it's super interesting. And I think all of these things are being put on us to kind of really reflect. And, like, would you want, like, a simple life with no stress and no threat and no outside? Like, would your spirit actually grow? Would you be able to evolve as a human being if that were the case? And I don't think so. I think it's, again, like, it says all times, it's perfect kind of craziness of chaos that's trying to realign itself. And I think that everything is always trying to realign into harmony. And it's our mind that holds us back. And it's us trying to think we know better and decide and hang on to the way things were or the way we felt comfortable, whether it's in your personal relationships. Like, for me, it comes up in relationships and business. When I feel that relationship isn't working, I want to try to hold on, remedy it to the point where it's like, hey, why am I even trying anymore? Or like a business, it's been so hard and all these challenges, and I think it's trying to move me in a different direction. But, you know, is the answer just to let go and allow things to fall apart completely, which is painful and hard? But is it just trying to do that so it can realign for something better? And every time that's happened to me in the past where I've been able to let go, either intentionally or being forced to, it's always worked out better in the end, you know? And, you know, like going down to rock bottom and just having that inspiration to continue to live, you know, like as long as you're alive and living, you should keep moving forward and not worrying about how things should be, but just focus on, like, how do you want to show up in the world? How do you want to bring that energy in to create peace in your own life and, you know, to bridge conversations between two opposing sides, kind of meet somewhere in the middle. And so, although I don't know what's going on in the world, I know that things don't make sense a lot of the time. And these big macroeconomic and global things make least sense to me, for sure. You know, I feel a lot of things are going on now might even be intentional, like supply chain issues and crashing the economy. Who's doing it and for what purpose? And will it work out in the end? I trust that whatever happens is going to balance itself out, and it may be uncomfortable, but maybe that's just exactly what we need. And a lot of people are waking up to that, to really wanting to get involved, wanting to be more vocal about the things they believe in. And I saw in Michigan, you know, there was some inappropriate content in kids' books, and like the Muslim community and the Christian community came and said, hey, like, kids shouldn't be exposed to this, you know, this is not for children. I strongly agree with that. I strongly agree with not imposing beliefs and allowing, you know, the family to kind of like raise their kids and instill virtues and you know, just ideology there around love and around family and around trust and respect. And so, yeah, even that teacher in Oakville that had those big prosthetic boobs on, I find out now he's doing it to prove a point, like the ridiculousness of some parts of that movement where, you know, he wanted to get people's attention. Now he's kind of shifting his tune to say, hey, like, are you not going to listen to me now? So it's really interesting if you look into that. Again, at surface, at first, I was like, what is going on here? But then you look into it, there's a lot more to that. And, you know, groups of, like, even, like, there's this group of, I think it was a gay association that was like, hey, like, this grooming thing, it's not cool. And, you know, they got their funding taken away and all their accounts frozen. It's like, why is that happening? Why don't we give them a voice to share how they feel about this? You know, so is there an agenda? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just sharing my perspective based on the information that I have and really, truly saying this with an open heart and to open more discussion around some of these things, because I'd love to hear both sides. And that's what I always try to do, is like, hey, these people are very strong opinion about one side. And what's the other side saying? And one thing that I'll never forget, too, is that Edgar Cayce, who was one of the greatest kind of clairvoyants, I guess, around probably in the 30s and 40s, and he predicted there'd be no more world wars. So that makes me feel good. But he also said something interesting. He said that out of Russia comes hope for the world, and not through communism or a Bolshevik revolution. It's based on freedom, where each man will live for its fellow man. So standing up in the face of tyranny for freedom. And I found that really interesting based on what's going on right now. Feels like they're poking the bear, pushing him into a corner, waiting for a reaction to do something greater maybe. But I think the world is waking up, and I really pray that we really can find peace on earth and a resolution to a lot of the issues we're facing now, you know, around pollution and all these other things. And yeah, I won't get too much into that because that can be a whole different tangent that we can go on. But really just like coming back to like, you know, just letting go completely. Like what happens if you completely let go? And even if that means losing a lot of things, but just really finding that true alignment in your heart, to find the inspiration to create magic and amazing things through love and intention and to create this new world. And how do we do that? By treating others the way we want to be treated, by allowing people to have their freedom without judgment and without imposing, but being open to understanding. So the planets are aligning. It seems like some craziness is going to happen over the next few months. And yet, you know, I feel this trust building within myself to know that, you know, things are going to be okay. And just one more thing that just came into my mind was going back about that whole like media, you know, trying to really control the narrative. So like search terms, and Google admitted at the World Economic Forum that they control the climate change narrative, so no one can challenge it. And I was like, there's some people like, hey, like government needs to control misinformation and the internet. But is that a good thing? You know, shouldn't people be able to openly debate things? And I know the editor or the founder of Rolling Stone was on Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan put it in a really good way, you know, about who should control the internet and should the governments be in control. And to be honest, I do not trust the government. Roger Waters also was on Joe Rogan. He's an interesting guy who talks about, you know, not trusting the government. And I think governments have gotten out of control. It went from, you know, being for the people, by the people, to like being for themselves and their corporate interest. Now, I don't see any way to change that except for a people-led revolution back into government or a crazy reset. But I think there's new energies that are coming into the world that are causing that to happen. And we just need to be able to move through it with an open mind and open heart. And to really try to avoid conflict at all means necessary. I know some of my friends would be like, yeah, you need to strike first and, you know, set your tone. I think that's really the old way. And my view on masculinity differs from them, but it's interesting how like these guys like Tate and some of these other guys are getting a lot of attention these days. I don't think that's the answer, but I think somewhere in the middle is about being strong, about fighting for what you believe in and not backing down, but also being open-hearted and looking for solutions that are not about, you know, F you, I'm in charge here, because I don't think that's ever worked, you know. But anyways, I went on a real ramble this morning. A lot of things that, you know, I spoke about, to get my perspective on, you know, like in the past I wouldn't speak about this because I was trying to play that super neutral line, but I don't think that helps anyone. I think asking more questions to open more conversation is really how we create an open dialogue for people to kind of see more eye to eye. And I think what everyone wants is peace and harmony and freedom. And how do we get there? And I don't think it's with more government. And I don't think it's with more rules and regulations. I think it's with openness, honesty, and inquiries into all of these things that are kind of like coming up now out of the grave. It's like, hey, like that wasn't true, or they lied to us, and people need to be held accountable for that, especially if it's lining their pockets in one way or another. So I'll leave it at that. I'd love to know what you think. If you totally disagree with any of the points, I'd love to hear your perspective on it. Send me an email. Connect on Elemental Geo on Instagram, or just get in touch. Okay, I love you all. Thank you for listening. I hope this didn't offend anyone. It's just really to spark more conversation about some of these topics, and just do your own research. It's harder and harder to do research because of the censorship that's going on, that there's like one narrative that everyone needs to follow. But if you dig, it's out there. Okay, so, and interestingly enough, someone set the Easter Island statues on fire to destroy them. I think someone didn't want some evidence to get out. And if you believe, or if you heard the mud flood theory, those guys were buried in like huge amounts of mud. What was the mud flood? How did it happen? Why did it happen? Was it man-made or not? I have no idea, but it's an interesting rabbit hole to go down. Tartaria, mud flood, and even kind of like crosses over into some of that flat earth craziness, which I won't get into. I just find it interesting. But with these new digital cameras, you know, people are zooming into some of the planets or some of the stars. And if you find these videos online, you see like it actually looks like when you zoom in, what it would look like to have a light underwater. And it begs the question, you know, are we like encapsulated here under some massive dome waiting to break free? I don't think that's the case, but it's interesting to kind of like imagine what that could be like. So keep your minds open, keep your hearts open, guys. Thank you for listening, and have the most incredible day ever.